Ah, the magic bus.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. More Americans are taking the bus and the subway and light rail. Ridership on public transit was up 5% in the second quarter, according to some numbers out today. Transit systems are trying to handle the demand. New York City might add subway cars without seats so more people could squeeze in. Boston is using longer trains for the T. But a lot of transit agencies also point out their fuel costs are going up, and they might have to reduce service if they don't get some help from the government. Stocks got a bounce from the government takeover of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, but it might be a dead cat bounce. In Asia, the markets were back down again today. Close to 2% losses in Japan and Hong Kong. Europe's rally is still going a bit. Shares are up about 1% so far. The Dow is at 11,510. It had a 2.5% gain yesterday, almost 300 points. The thing about bailouts is this. Once you start, everybody wants one. First, there was Bear Stearns. Now there's Fannie and Freddie. And today in Washington, the car industry is looking for some love. I mean, money from the from Congress. Here's John Dimsdale.
Car makers need new capital to retool for more fuel-efficient vehicles, but lenders are demanding premium interest rates since prospects for car company profits are dim. So the industry wants government-subsidized loans at low interest rates. Why should taxpayers help? David Cole at the Center for Automotive Research says because the government is requiring more fuel-efficient cars.
In a sense, the government has laid some pretty heavy stuff on the industry, and one of the consequences of the run-up in energy prices is a dramatic reduction in revenue by the industries.
After Fannie and Freddie, Congress may not have a taste for more government bailouts, but Cole says in the end, there may not be a cost to taxpayers.
The Chrysler bailout in the early 1980s, the government actually made money.
Car makers are also making a political appeal. What politician wants to see more layoffs from car factories in the swing states of Michigan and Ohio? In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Today, for the first time in decades, the Colonel Sanders chicken recipe will be moved from the KFC headquarters in Louisville, Kentucky. This is the handwritten recipe of 11 herbs and spices signed by the Colonel himself. We don't know where it's going or why it's being moved, but no one will get their hands on it. KFC has hired a security team to transport this yellowing piece of notebook paper. The recipe will be locked in a briefcase that's handcuffed to a security guard.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, celebrating global passion to live life to the fullest with 25 runners from around the world. More on global heroes at medtronic.com. And by Farrar, Straus & Giroux, publishers of the new book by Thomas L. Friedman, Hot, Flat, and Crowded, Why We Need a Green Revolution and How It Can Renew America, wherever books are sold.
In certain movie theaters in Britain today, there's no popcorn. The Picture House theater chain has banned popcorn on Tuesdays. The company says some people just hate it. The taste, the smell, the noise, and of course, the price. A big tub of popcorn costs about 60 cents, but at the movies you pay $7 or $8. There's actually a new book about this and other pricing puzzles. Richard McKenzie wrote, Why Popcorn Costs So Much at the Movies. Richard, why does it?
One of the reasons that popcorn is so expensive is that theaters see themselves in the concession business. James Edwards, founder of the Edwards Theater chain, once said, I show you movies in order to sell you popcorn. And over half of the gate receipts at movie theaters can go to the studios.
Right.
So what you want to do is keep the price of the tickets down in order that you can raise the price of popcorn.
And people are willing to pay the price because it's convenient.
It's convenient. It's also what the theater industry calls smellable, audible, edible.
It suckers me in every single time without fail. Even if I say I don't really want popcorn, you get there and the smell, it's over.
And once they get you hooked, I mean, there are all kinds of chemicals being released in the brain and so forth that makes moviegoers price insensitive.
Now let's talk about the different sizes. And explain to us what the best value is for your money with popcorn.
Okay, well, what the theaters are doing is walking you up your demand curve and charging you a high price for the first few ounces. Then they're sort of walking you down. They know they can sell you more, but they've got to drastically lower the price on those marginal ounces.
Show us what you're talking about.
Okay, what I'm going to do is pour out the contents of a full tub of popcorn, the large.
All right, there we go.
And then I'm going to take the medium bag, and I'm going to pour it into the tub. And as you can see,
it overflows.
It's on the floor.
So why do people buy the large?
Well, I think some of them think that they're getting more popcorn, but you also get the option of free refills. And there are some customers who will buy the tub and then on the way out of the theater ask for another
no
refill to take at home. And once you get two refills, you've got the price of popcorn at the margin down to less than 8 cents an ounce.
That's but a heck of a lot of popcorn, though.
I have to warn you that if you get a tub, refill it twice, and smother all three tubs with butter, you're going to be consuming the calories recommended for an adult male for 3 days.
Jeez, sounds awful. And is this psychological pricing, or is there an economic reason behind it?
Fundamental law in economics is the law of demand. That is, what they're doing is simply charging you more on those very first few ounces, and you're willing to pay more for the first few ounces by the law of demand.
Mm-hmm.
But to get you to buy more, they got to lower the price drastically.
Richard McKenzie, his book is called Why Popcorn Costs So Much at the Movies. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Finally this morning, the latest edition of the Farmer's Almanac is out. It predicts a colder than normal winter, and it has some advice on how to beat home heating costs. One tip from the 1770s suggests you can stay warm all winter with only one log. You just take it upstairs, throw it out the window, run down and get it, and do it all over again. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.
American Public Media.